I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Have any of you, none of you have made any end of life plans, right?
Like, I have a will.
Yeah, I should be more, they haven't planned a funeral or anything.
Yeah, no, my funeral's like, I'll be cremated. It's all said and done.
It's all in there.
Oh, wow.
Prepaid?
Okay. Did I do that? I don't think I did do that. It's just what my funeral wishes are, to be cremated and not buried.
Do you have a plan?
Yeah.
Do you have something for outrageous in there after cremation? Like you have to be scattered somewhere strange and difficult?
I wanted to
put a little piece of me on each of the seven continents.
Yeah. Make me into a butt plug, please.
Remember years ago, and I think this is, I'm pretty sure it's still a thing, where some people would send their ashes to be pressurized and turned into a diamond?
Yeah.
Jewelry. Oh, yeah.
I just thought that was kind of a neat. I remember making fun of it at the time, and then we got off the air. This is like years ago in the afternoon show in Omaha when we're like 23. We made fun of it, and then we got off, and I'm like, I actually think that might be kind of a good memento. And Howings was like, yeah, me too, but it was more fun to be mean to it.
If you don't get too caught up in like the morbidity of it or whatever and just look at it like as a cool piece. I think and having a chunk of me made into a diamond and then the rest of me like put under like a cool tree planting.
Yeah.
Do that. And then put put a little plaque on there.
What would you?
I don't need it.
What part would you specify? Which part you want turned into a diamond, like your left hand or your wiener?
Oh, my wiener. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Diamond.
Don't even turn it into a diamond. Just embalm it. Just petrify it.
Like Napoleon's.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they did to like Rasputin's too?
I think maybe. I mean, I've always heard that, right? That art traders are trading around Rasputin and Napoleon's wieners. I don't know if that's true.
Probably, yeah. Are they like at the penis museum?
Well, a gentleman named Gary Wolfelt had a plan for his funeral. At the very least, he wrote his own obituary. And I'm assuming he chose the photo of him in coveralls wearing a baseball cap, leaning on his hand next to a fence, like any good farmer might be. And this was published May 8th, I believe in Lafayette, Indiana. Hello, I am Gary. I am completely dead now, he writes. I'm surprised that it took this long to happen. I had several close calls throughout my lifetime. I guess that I was just lucky that something didn't get me long before now. I had a long series of events and mishaps that, looking back, should have killed me long ago. Sometime during my grade school years, I was the second baseman on the losingest team in Little League baseball history. 0 wins and 20 losses. I lost sight of a fly ball in the sun and got beaned right in the forehead.
Oh.
I guess that explains a lot later in life, now that I think about it. In my 20s, my sister's horse kicked me real hard in the gut. Any higher and my heart would have stopped. Any lower and I would have been singing soprano my whole life. In my 30s, I got hit by a car when I was crossing the street. It was my fault. I was crossing against the light. It really knocked me hell-bent for election. I've never heard that phrase before, but I like it.
Is that a saying?
It is for him.
I got up, brushed it off, and went home with a torn-up coat and some pretty sore muscles. Lucky me! In my 40s, I was in the process of tearing down an old, dilapidated building and was inside tying off a cable when the building came crashing down around me, and a large brick chimney just missed falling on me by about 10 feet. Now I'm beginning to think that there must not be any more room in heaven or hell for me, and I'm just stuck in purgatory while accidents nearly kill me. In my 50s, I got knocked down 19 stairs at my office by a couple of 100-pound concrete-lined safe, which landed on top of me and pinned me to the floor. That one might have been the worst.
Sounds to me like, he should have avoided, like, anything involving heavy objects.
But listen, he writes, I didn't get any body parts broken and no internal injuries. He's like Bruce Willis in Unbreakable.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like avoiding Final Destination.
I bet he died of drowning.
Yeah.
I couldn't even pick up my own feet to get into bed for about a week. Thank goodness for pain-killing drugs. Then in my 60s, I fell backwards off a scaffold from 10 feet up and I cracked my head on the concrete floor. But that one turned out to be a fortunate fall because it forced me to visit my doctor, who I hadn't seen in 3 years, and while I was there, he determined that I had prostate cancer early enough to be treated. That's another dodged bullet.
I bet he died of an infection from a paper cut.
It's got
to
be something.
Like the dumbest, so, yeah, a mosquito bite.
Yeah. He was allergic to a daffodil.
In my early 70s, that treatment failed, and I had to have my prostate surgically removed. That went well, but then I developed an internal leak that nearly killed me.
An internal leak?
No.
Oh, no. His body was like a Freebird's house.
yeah, it was. One more close call late in life. I cannot tell you here what sort of event actually finally killed me as I write this obituary before I'm completely dead. Someone else will have to fill in the details later. I really hate paying the Journal and Courier a lot of money just to let people who might be looking for me now know they can give up. The chances are pretty good. They are not in my will anyways. So I'll keep the rest of the obituary short.
I like how this is just kind of stream of consciousness.
It is.
Like out of nowhere. By the way, what's up with the newspaper charging for this?
Yeah.
First off, I'd like to apologize to anyone I might have offended or mistreated, especially Anoma Hargis in sixth grade. The truth is, I was far from a perfect human, although I did try to learn from my mistakes and shortcomings as I grew older. I barely made it out of high school. I couldn't pass the math classes at Purdue University, maybe due to the baseball accident. I don't know. So I've been wandering around a long time without much of a formal education. I read a lot of books and news articles, though, so I didn't completely die stupid, although some may not agree. Then he goes on about when he was born. Other than the one time, oh, it says, my brother, Dr. Alan Wolfett of Fort Collins, only tried to kill me one time by attempting to beat me with a little maple rocking chair when he was 9. Other than that one time, he was pretty nice to me. My sister, Kay Montez, Riverside, Indiana, never tried to kill me, but it was her horse, Cricket, that kicked me real hard in the stomach. After about 10 minutes, I was able to get up and move again, and I knocked that stupid horse over the head with a 2x4 to get even. What the hell? I would probably be locked up for animal abuse today, even though he started it.
He started.
I got married to Esther Chosnek sometime. Everybody he knows in his life sounds like someone who just got off the boat from a country that doesn't have vowels.
It really does sound that way.
I married her in 1982 in Las Vegas. I don't know the exact date. It was such a blur now since it was such a long time ago. We never even met our witness, but we got a cheap certificate in the mail a few weeks later that said we were married. Esther was nice to me most of the time, even when I spent the grocery money on tools and airplane parts. It's not like that many men have had it as good as I have had at home. I was well-fed and loved from start to finish. I never wanted a bunch of noisy little kids running around the house, so we had dogs instead. And most of them never tried to bite me. I guess they must have liked me, too. As a matter of fact, I liked our dogs better than I liked most people that I came into contact with. Here's a list of my life's most important accomplishments. I stayed lovingly married to the same woman for a long time. I cut about 100 cords of firewood. I fixed a lot of problems for people over the last 50 years. I paid all my bills with my own earnings. I only took welfare after I retired Social Security. I would like to thank those of you who loved me while I was on Earth. It meant a lot to me, and I appreciate you letting me love you right back. P.S. I want you to know that I didn't intentionally vote for any socialists during my lifetime, so I am not the least bit responsible for the mess of America at this moment. Work hard like I did. Pay your own bills, and in accordance with my wishes, there will be no funeral. I don't want people coming to look at me all dressed up and stretched out in a dumb box. I'll probably look in a complete dead condition anyway. In lieu of flowers, please keep the money and take yourself out to a nice dinner or do something for someone else. I am pretty sure someone will want to claim. I will try to remember to have a nice full-size stand-up cardboard cutout of me afterwards and available for the event. And then Esther has some additions. Gary was a graduate of Jefferson High School, owner and president of Wolfelt Electronic Security for 27 years. His interest in aviation prompted him to attend the Purdue School of Aviation Technology. Gary couldn't stay retired and loved helping other people. He moved on to build a fixed-wing airplane. It took him 17 years to build his express aircraft. And then she says very nice things. And then says, plant a tree in his memory. He'd like that, even if he won't admit it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great obituary. That
is. That's really good. And also fascinating that he was so involved in both homemade airplane building and in electrical things
yeah.
and never once died in an experimental aircraft or electrocuted himself. He just had big things almost fall on him.
Well, yes. we don't know. I mean, yeah. we don't know exactly how he died.
He might have been getting electrocuted when an airplane smashed into him.
Yeah. It's possible. It's possible. He might have put his tongue on the battery terminals of his experimental aircraft
also,
and went into a bad yaw.
For someone who never got any formal education, those are two things that take a pretty smart person to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, building your own electronics company, running your business, and then, you know, building a plane, even if it takes you 17 years.
I bet that guy was a joy to know.
I would think so, right? It wasn't Probably. Just masking being a giant butthole.
No, he seemed Hopefully. Like he was a good dude. Well, just the line about, like, you know, I appreciate everyone who loved me while I was alive and letting me love you right back. That's, like, that right there shows that he was a good person.
It's not generally something an awful person says.
Yeah.